Hey guys, it's V, and I'm here to just say how much I love using the Anchor app. Not only has it been easy for me to navigate through and edit and get my podcast out, but it's free. It's everything that you need to make a podcast in one place. You don't have to worry about the hassle of getting it distributed out to any platforms. Anchor will do that for you. You can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so many more. Did I mention it's free? And that it's easy to use. I love it. So just go download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
In a world where two brothers come up with stupid ideas, they set out on an epic journey to fulfill these ideas. And it landed them on What's the Channel Called? An epic podcast, an epic YouTube channel of epic proportions. Watch as these two idiots do whatever they can to sell their merch and to get the views. Tune in next week at whatever time they decide. And they'll keep you posted. And yeah, don't forget to turn your oven off. Have a good night.
My name is Paige, and I'm the host of Reverie True Crime. Reverie means to daydream, but even daydreams can turn into nightmares. Join me as I tell you haunting and horrific reveries about missing people and senseless murders. I also interview survivors and people seeking justice for themselves or a loved one. New episodes come out every Monday morning, and sometimes you'll get bonus episodes on Thursdays. Wherever you're listening to this current podcast right now, you can find Reverie True Crime.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Life Paranormal with V. I have a very special guest that I'm bringing on today. I would love for you guys to sit back and enjoy this one, only because I have had other guests before who have spoke about their paranormal experiences, and I haven't had anybody in quite some time do that. We've had some really great specials lately, so I really want to refocus my attention to having people come on and discuss their own paranormal and unexplained encounters. You all know this is a safe place for you guys to come and listen to, and also give me your own personal stories as well. So without further ado, I want to bring on my guest tonight. His name is Greg. Greg, go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody.
You pretty much covered it, that my name is Greg and I'm the guest on your show.
That's everything we need to know for right now, right?
Yes, and I'm trying to get my NPR type radio vibe going today, because on a podcast that I do myself, I am so excitable, loud, and frenetic, and that is not the vibe I'm going for. There's actually a calm, cool NPR type side of me that I'm going for. So this is great practice for me. Yes.
Well, I highly suggest for you to just be yourself, because you know this show goes on all tangents sometimes, so it's completely up to you to just be whomever you want to be. But the main part is that I want you to, you know, feel comfortable enough to just tell me a little bit about first, Greg. How did you become introduced, I would say, to the world of the paranormal.
Okay, well, pardon me. It was prior to this that I had some paranormal experiences, but it might mm-hmm. sound a little tacky, but it was totally mm-hmm. Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
It was 1984. I was 5 years old. This is back mm-hmm. in the day when Saturday matinees were packed. And I was so little, I couldn't see the screen. So the neighbor that took us, I went with like neighbors and friends. And so they had to actually put me on the arm of a chair. And I was so small, I didn't, you know, I didn't disturb anybody anyway by doing that. And I saw this movie. And of course, it was, I mean, I was a little scared because I was 5 years old. But still, it fascinated me. It entertained me. It became like my favorite movie in the world. But of course, it catapulted the interest in the paranormal. And of course, I don't know if you know this, but Dan Aykroyd, who created the movie himself, created it out of his own paranormal fascination and experiences. So
I heard that.
So definitely after that movie, I'm like, this is really cool. But I had kind of a history. I mean, I knew that the world of the paranormal was not Ghostbusters verbatim, you know, yes. but I still mm-hmm. had, you know, this fascination and always felt like there's always somebody with me. And I would, you know, kind of talk to that person. And it's a real innate feeling that, that I always believed, even at that young age, that that was my spirit guide that I was talking to.
Wow, at such a young age, would you say you were like 4 or 5, maybe?
Or was definitely when I had my first paranormal experiences. So mind you, this was before even Ghostbusters and anything. Mm-hmm. But I was 4 years old. Before bedtime, my mom used to let me watch TV in the master bedroom on her big bed, you know. And mm-hmm. sitting there, I believe I was drinking some juice and the door was open. And so my sister's doorway, her door was closed because she was sleeping. And so that was on the left. So I could mm-hmm. see out in the hallway and then the door was on the left. And mm-hmm. I saw this sort of shadowy, kind of translucent figure, if that's the right word, of this little girl. She stops, looks at me, and then vanishes into what seemed like she went into my sister's room. And I said to my mom, there's a little girl there. There's a little girl there. And she's like, what? What little girl? What are you talking about? I just saw a little girl. And she looked at me, and so that was, I mean, I knew that was a ghost. And that was the very beginning of knowing that that something was out there. Yeah. And that for some reason, I was chosen to see it. I guess
that's to see it.
Yeah, I guess that's
Did you ever see the little girl again?
Okay. I never saw my major paranormal experiences. That is one. Mm-hmm. I never saw that little girl again. No, but years and years and years later, I was in bed and I was awake. There was, you know, there was no way that I was, you know when you're awake, you know?
Of course.
And so I was completely, I was completely aware of things. I was in my room. Some people have said, well, there's waking dreams and stuff. I don't believe that that's what was happening. So I'm in my bed and suddenly I hear what seems to be a hissing sound, sort of like a snake. And
what?
Yeah, I hear a hissing sound, like something like that. Mm-hmm. And a mist appears to my left. Okay. And so now I'm completely paralyzed. I don't know whether that was fear or that now, what I did feel like was that I felt like this mist was trying to pull me into its, for lack of a better word, its realm. And this mist was not friendly. This was a complete evil entity, whatever this was. And so now I'm completely paralyzed and I'm being pulled to this hissing mist. It's hissing. And it's a like floating mist, literally. Now I'm being pulled. And I had to use like all my willpower to say, no, no, you're not taking me. And I'm saying that in my mind and I'm fighting like something of a, like, I feel like I'm like Arnold Schwarzenegger or something fighting a demon in a movie. I don't know. And so, no, no, you're not going to take me. You're not going to take me. And then suddenly it vanished. The hissing sound stopped. This thing was gone. I had control of my body again, but I was so scared. I can't tell you how many hours I was frozen in complete fear and fright until, how old I was at the time. I want to say late teens, early 20s. But as soon as I mustered up, I was still living with my mom at the time. And as soon as I mustered up the ability to get out of bed, I ran into her room and went into under the covers. And she goes, what is going on with you? What? I'm going, just something happened. I can't explain it. Something happened. I don't remember, to be honest. I'd be lying if I said I ever told her the experience. I may have. I think I mentioned it to my sister. But yeah, and I was not asleep. So of course, when I tell skeptics this, they go, oh, Greg, you know, waking dream.
Yeah.
Waking dream. That was a waking dream. But I know what I felt. I know what I heard. And I know the experience was just, you know, it was out there, let me tell you.
I have full body chills as you're telling me. I felt the fear through you, you know, through you recounting it. I don't know what I don't know what else I can say to somebody who hasn't experienced that, other than, you know, this is the beauty of why I have this show, is, you know, the connections that I make with guests like you is, you know, being able to relate, because I had so many encounters like that where you're just unable to move. You can't even speak. You can't,
correct.
There's just something,
yes.
You can't even get out of bed.
Correct.
Been, you know, hours goes by, you know, you just, it's the most, ooh, fear
powerful. Yeah, I couldn't tell you what time it was that the event took place. I just know that it took hours to get to muster my energy to get out of bed. I want to say it felt like the wee hours of the morning by the time I did get out of bed. I don't remember which residence of mine this was. Because like I'm thinking of my old bedroom, but I know it happened in another one. So definitely I want to say at least 18 and at most 20. It was like between 18 and 20 that happened. So about 20 years ago. Yeah, a little more than 20 years ago. Wow. Yeah.
That is so terrifying, Greg. I can't explain the hissing sound. That's what that's what really scares me, you know, hissing. Did you hear anything else, maybe telepathically, you know, any voices?
No, I just heard the hissing. No, my impression was, I'm trying to stay light here, but this is not a light situation, you know. My impression was either some kind of demon or death himself. I have no idea, because I said, you're not taking me now in my head. You're not taking me. No, no. And I had a fight. I had to fight. I mean, I literally was being pulled. And, you know, my body started to go toward this mist. And if I ended up in the mist, or, I mean, I don't know what would have happened. Something dangerous. That's all my mind was telling me. It was some kind of demon or some, or death. I don't know. Something,
you know, this
Is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. it's almost as if you knew, Greg, like you've known of it, or even knew it was going to come for you. And sometimes it's a very, I am a firm believer in past life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've done a lot of work with that. And I do a lot of work for people with that. But it's almost as if you knew, you know, your own soul contract. You know, we have this karmic cycle that we do come back and fulfill. And it feels to me like you recognized this, almost knew that it would come, because how in the world would you tell it? First off, you're not going to take me. You know, the first impression would be someone to scream, run out of the room.
Or, I don't think I had the ability to do that, actually. Go ahead.
The first instinct was for you to tell it, leave me alone. You're not going to
exactly.
You're not taking me.
Exactly.
That's to have your body, you know, start to be pulled towards it shows how much power it had. But seeing how it left you alone shows how much power you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that goes to show how much power you have, because a lot of people, you know, are totally was taken by these things and overpowered, and it seems like you had such fight in you, which I can already tell, and just been talking to you these past months, I can totally feel that in you, that how powerful you are, as what a powerful soul you are. So that's the first impression I got when you were telling me the story. Mm. How dark this thing, there was no good in this was pure evil.
Yes,
pure evil.
Yes, I felt that. Mm-hmm. Yes. I can't recall, as you know, I had like a story to tell when I came on here, and we'll definitely get into that. If I told you it was around that same time, which would make sense, I but it could have been. It could have, yeah. I will certainly get into that. But yeah, that and the little girl were huge experiences that I've carried with me my entire life. Yes.
Well, talk about being introduced to the paranormal world. And, you know, it's, I first had a very friendly encounter, kind of like yours, like little girl. I had this male ghost that I would see the spirit in my, you know, growing up in Colorado in our home. And he was so pleasant and so sweet. And then it's like things just escalated to just dark, you know, encounters and these dark entities, this evil. And I can honestly say, speaking to people like you and, you know, with my own personal experience, I feel like there's something to be said about children who are visited like this and young people, because it's like the darkness sees so much potential and the life that this person is going to lead and all the light that they have in them, that this darkness just gets so magnetized to it. It's like a moth to the flame. I've said that before on the show. It just finds you. You're just like this lighthouse in the middle of this darkness. And you're so young at that point. Your gifts probably, growing up with them, you probably didn't realize how much of sensitivities you had. And, if you want to call them psychic abilities, you want to call it intuition, but everyone calls it something differently. Some people don't even regard it as being real.
Exactly.
But that is something that you kind of grow up with, you know, like myself, I understood kind of like you. I was like, okay, this is just who I am. I see these things. You just live with it and it becomes a part of you. And, so let's move on to the next question I had for you. After this dark encounter, did you have anything else happen to you? Not just paranormal, but did you start to experience any, you know, I'd say deja vu or other experiences where it was not just paranormal in nature, but your abilities were coming out more as far as being able to predict things or see into the future, maybe?
Well,
did you have that?
I want to preface this by saying I know for a fact that sometimes a dream is just a dream, you know?
Of course.
There's nothing, you know, to look into. If you're dreaming about a lot of water, you may just have to pee. I mean, that's all it is, you know? But I started to get dreams that I felt like were were sending messages to me, whether it be about me or somebody I knew. Now, only recently, during the pandemic, for some reason, I thought of a girl that's never been on social media ever, but I went to, I want to say, elementary school with her. Elementary school and middle school, I would say. And I can't tell you we were close friends, but over the years, there was a connection there. I mean, she played my wife in a play, you know, in the school play. And while we were never friends, I had heard through the grapevine, she had actually seen my mother at a beauty parlor. She was working at a beauty parlor. So she actually like asked about me and asked how I was doing. Now, she crossed my mind for some reason in a dream. And I had no idea why I saw her in this dream and thought that there might have been something going on. So quick Google search, her father had died of COVID. So kind of felt like that's why I saw her in a dream. So and I had an incident just the other day, we'll call it, before we recorded, where I dreamt of a friend and a situation for that friend. I'll obviously, you know, protect her privacy. So I dreamt of a situation, and I was like in the dream, I was a fly on the wall. You know, I was just observing something. And then, you know, after this dream, I'm like, well, that was weird. But do I share this with her? Because I've had dreams of other sorts and people are in it randomly and I don't share it with them. But something compelled me to share it with her. And what I saw in the dream paralleled what is actually going on with her right now. So that was just the other night. Now, I'll make this part as quick as possible. But after seeing a spiritual medium years back, he told me, and then we've since had several sessions with him. We have one scheduled for August 8th of 2022. That's how long it takes to see him. Anyway, he said, you have this. I'm seeing that you have this. And, you know, you can do what I can do if you feel like you want to do it, you know?
Of course.
And I was convinced that someone I knew was trying to get me, again, I need to keep people's privacy, you know? Someone I knew passed. I had this feeling that he was speaking to me. And I had a feeling that I needed to get a message to someone he knew. And I sent this, and this is, I want to say, prior to this, I had a kind of a better experience where I was compelled to contact this girl because I felt like her grandmother was telling me to contact her to tell her that she was okay. Oh, wow. Yeah. And so I contact her. She doesn't even know me from Adam. And I said, hey, do you have a grandmother? And I don't really remember details. Like, did she like, did you guys sew together and bake together and have some kind of a bond like that? And she's like, oh my God, yes. And I said, well, my impression is that she just wants me to tell you that she's okay. And that was an experience where, now, you know, what happens is that she kept, this girl then continued to contact me asking if I was getting any messages from, as she called her, Graham. Said, no, I said, this is kind of just something that I have that I don't really turn on all that often, but sometimes I'm sometimes I get the urge or, you know, sometimes, and so, you know, she would continually ask any messages from Graham. And sometimes, you know, I was able to relay to her something that made sense to her. You know, that Graham might have been saying, but I think Graham was also saying, leave this guy alone already, please. So there was that prior to this. So now a friend that had passed asked me to get a message to a complete stranger. And let's just say when I went to do that, literally, it didn't go so well. And I was accused of being a Satanist or something. I mean, it freaked her out. I mean, I can understand that because you have a friend that's passed and this stranger is telling you that they have a message from this friend. I happen to know this guy I knew, unlike this girl's grandmother, you know?
Yeah.
And I then started over Messenger, you know, what was automatic writing in my mind.
Yeah.
I wasn't writing, mm-hmm. I was writing this. And she just, after that, she's like, leave me alone, you're a psycho. And
oh, wow.
What's going on with you?
Wow.
It's not coming from a place of God, you know, i.e.,
wow.
you know, yeah. very, very Christian, you know, i.e., that means it was Satanism. Mm-hmm. And profusely, as just trying to explain to her to make sense of what was going on, she not only blocked me, but any of the connections I had with this person who had asked, they made sure that this was that Greg is a psycho and into some kind of voodoo Satanism. Stay away from him. He's crazy. So after that,
that's horrible.
Yeah, and I even had like some people that I respected very much who were kind of connected to this person. I was deleted and blocked on Facebook by people. You know, I'm sure that whole thing has blown over now. But then, I got two examples of how mediumship and, you know, psychic abilities could go with that thing.
Yeah,
I got the one very positive one with Graham there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was for the most part positive. And then this one, where I'm like, okay, I never want this again. I never want to do this. I'm turning this off, let's say.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It off, and I have.
I hate that. Mm-hmm.
So the medium that I see at one of our sessions, so I was thinking I would love for this guy, I was like saying, please come through so that you can validate for me that was you. You know, because otherwise, it did feel crazy, so to speak. You know, these something is wrong with me. You know, maybe I was really delusional, but the medium confirmed, oh, that was him. And he apologized for them. They were being stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that. So my whole life. And I also feel like when people, I hope I don't offend anyone when I say this, but I feel like when people feel like God and like biblical sense of God is with them, I feel like they're feeling their spirit guides. And I feel like all spirits have a higher power that they, quote, answer to. These have been my beliefs. Mm-hmm. That is who God is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Divine. They're divine.
Exactly. And we all have that guide, you know? Like when we talk to ourselves, I don't fully believe that we're talking to ourselves. You know?
You are so right, Greg. You're right. And I'm so, you know, I wanted to let you just speak and speak your truth on that, because it was so profoundly, you know, first of all, it's very brave, because this is just what a lot of people don't understand, is how hard it is and all the adversity that we face when we come out and we're just ourselves. And especially when you're met with something like that, I can completely understand. You feel crazy. Is there something wrong with me? Maybe they're right. Maybe this is coming from a dark place.
Exactly.
Maybe there's just something wrong with me. And you start to, I went through that horrible phase and as a young girl. And then again, in high school, it just made it worse, you know? But that's what makes me so angry, is that you had so much potential. But I just think it had to happen for a reason, because I think you had to go through some things in life, and now I think you're in this place now. I mean, you're on my show.
Mm-hmm.
There's more, you're strong enough to deal with it. Like the psychic said, it's your choice whether you want to go down this avenue and revisit it and just slowly open up to that, or, you know, you always do what you're comfortable with. That's what I tell people when I first start working with them, is, you know, do what makes you feel right. I definitely started out like you too. I would get these, just like you said, it's kind of like an impression, you know, you have that, there's like this need, you have to talk to somebody. I don't approach anybody. I'm just also a very, I don't know. I'm very shy. So I don't really like to go up to people. And especially when it comes to things like this, I pretty much read things out. I ask my spirit guide, is this person going to give me a bad reaction? Or if I'm going to upset them, then I'm not going to tell them. So I've learned throughout the years, like who to say it to, who not. And mostly when I'm working, you know, I had my own practice. This was pre-COVID, before I closed my doors. So, but here's the thing. I, knock on wood, so far have had really great experiences, but that wasn't the case when I was growing up. If anything, now what I experience is, you know, the same thing, but they distance themselves from me. They will talk behind my back and say that I'm this. I'm incredibly, I'm a very spiritual person. I'm very in tune with God and the universe and my spirit guides. And I've really fully opened up to my gifts for the past 7 years now. And I'd say the past 3 years have been incredibly monumental in my practice. But I hate that the people who I love the most, friends that I used to have, even some family, feel that way about me when they already know you, right? They know of you. They've probably been friends with you for a while. That's why it's so hard, and it makes things far more worse when you want to tell someone the truth of who you are. It's like you have to hide that, and it still feels like you live, you know, and period. We live in a world that's still not used to this. You know, we can't fully come out and be ourselves because you're ridiculed. But now I'm in this place where I'm like, I don't care. I could care less what people think about me. They're not going to like me anyways. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life not being my genuine self. Then I don't want to live. I'd rather live each day being who I'm meant to be and help who I need to help. And I think that's why we're here. People like us, we're here to help others. You know, I truly and firmly believe that. And I have a feeling you're on the right path in your life right now, to be honest with you. I'm getting goosebumps right now. So that's confirmation. I feel so horrible when people have those experiences. I was so taken aback by that. I'm so sorry they called you those things. It's like, it's to be said that in life, there are good and bad, right? There's good and bad teachers. There's good and bad doctors. There's good and bad in everything. And it depends on the individual and the intent, right? So with this, yes, there's people who have gifts like us, but they do bad things with them. And they do really evil things, you know, and that messes everything up for us, you know, when we just want to do good and we want to help others. And it just makes it that much harder to convince people that we're, so to speak, of the light. And yeah, we work through the divine, you know. I had an aunt of mine who really, really helped me see things better. And she's Christian, you know, she looked at me one day and she's like, look, there's nothing wrong. If anything, I feel like you have the gift of prophecy, which is exactly what I feel to this day. You know, if I'm able to foresee something, or if I see something in the past, or I'm able to see into the spirit world, I feel so much more better now coming out with it than I did before, because I've accepted it, you know. And I hate that had to happen in that sense to you, where they made you feel like this was so wrong for you to feel. This is a wrong thing to feel, these emotions, you know. Do you feel like, yes, you closed yourself off, and it doesn't go away, you know, it goes on like a nice simmer, you tune it down, but over the years, did you feel anything after that? Like, well, impression wise?
To an extent, because I mean, I turned off the whatever you want to call it, the thing that, first of all, also when you talk about a support system, yes, I have many best friends who are total skeptics, and that's okay. Even if I told them, you know, that I was with a medium and they wanted me to get a message to them, they were like, yeah, whatever. Uh-huh. That's Greg's, you know, silly paranormal fascination. But I'm lucky enough to have two people that I can always go to in my life.
Of course.
Shout out to Adrian and Ayla. Shout out to Adrian and Ayla. They have this stuff too. So, in fact, Ayla is who will come up later when I tell you the explanation for what this other experience was, what we think it may be. Yeah. But I can't wait to hear your input and your listeners' input too. But I can always go. So I have, like, these are my spiritual friends. These are my purpose friends. And I find, you know, the thing about skeptics is that I don't think we want to go, like, completely now talking about skeptics. But what I really feel it is that they are too smart for their own good. Now, first of all, I wanted to bring this up. You have brilliant minds like Penn Jillette, Derren Brown, and the late James Randi, who's studied sleight of hand. They studied psychology, and they studied misdirection and things like that. So they know the tricks of the charlatans that make it look like that they're psychic when they're not. And they are, like, really...
Yes.
Derren Brown, I can't place which special it was, but he did an example of being a spiritual medium, quote-unquote, and how he amazed people in how... But it was all the psychology, the misdirection, and the sleight of hand. So that's one thing going for skeptics, that know the tricks that there are, so then they feel that everyone's a bad apple. When in fact, you know, these psychics, you know, there are those, I don't want to say names, but there are charlatans out there. And they're very famous psychics. You know, I find it ironic that one of the most infamous fakes actually predicted the coronavirus, but I guess that's for another time to discuss. But,
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
But, so that's the one thing with the skeptics. And the other thing is they have such brilliant minds. I mean, I out and out, you know, can say my father was a major skeptic too. They're so brilliant for their own good that they refuse. So first of all, they know the charlatan tricks. And secondly, they're such scientific and psychologically brilliant that they go, there's no way that something I can't explain is possibly happening, when in fact, they just need to open their mind for it. And in fact, next season on my own podcast, we're going to do some tests with John to see if we're going to make out of him. It's going to be fun. Yes.
Really? That sounds so fun. I can't wait to listen to that.
Next season.
You know, it's funny though, Greg, but I have a lot of friends and family who are skeptics, but you know, that's a part of me, is like, I don't force my beliefs onto others. I let people just be who they are. And I think that's why I have such, you know, successful friendships and family. Like, for those who wanted to walk away, I was completely fine with that. And I respect, like, where they are on their path. And I'm just walking a different path. I definitely don't have any, you know, bad feelings about it. I'm obviously hurt, but you know, I just feel like I feel comfortable being who I am around them now, that I don't have to talk so much about it. You know, that's just not what I'm going to bring up in our conversation. It's going to, you know, if I'm talking to my friend, it's like, how are you doing? How's work? You know, we get to know each other on a different level, just how it is with, you know, things nowadays. Like, you don't want to bring up politics. Right. You don't want to be, have you got the vaccination? You're not going to get the vaccination. So there's things that just separate us now. And there's so much division. And I've never been that person. I've always been the opposite, but, I don't think everybody has these, you know, not everybody's going to see ghosts. Not everybody's going to have, you know, we're all different. We have different gifts and abilities, and some choose to use it, some don't. But you're right. A lot of these skeptics are very brilliant people. I don't have any.
Yeah. I understand where they're coming from too. I can get it. But
because you and I question that. We've been in that place, though. We were just talking about that, Greg, where we've questioned ourselves and we're like, okay, you're crazy. This isn't, it's all in your mind. This isn't happening. So I've had to close it off too and be like, this isn't going to happen. This is not real. You know, even after I've had horrible experiences, being held down in bed, seeing demonic entities right in my face, you know, being half possessed. It's just, I had to close it down for my own sanity.
Well,
like pretending the elephant in the room isn't there.
Well, another reason I closed it off after that incident, that second incident, not that I don't believe that there's spirits all around us, some good.
Of course.
I don't always feel like I'm in danger, some good. I turned it off because, don't misconstrue this, but I just wasn't interested. And also, in like making it a career or like getting, quote, better at it, especially because it crossed my mind is like, do I want to be a medium like the medium that I see, the legitimate ones who tell you names, places, dates, things, exact things, not one of those, cold readers. But I'm like, I want to stay on the path that I believe that I'm really meant to do. I mean, I considered it. I said, I know that it's there and that I have it. And when I talked to like the young woman with her grandmother and this friend that I had the dream about, and I advised her what I felt the dream was telling me, I do feel good that it brings comfort to them. And I can see, but also, some of my friend Ayla happens to be a professional in what she does. And of course you get all those, and I've done it too. You get all those, oh, you're psychic, give me a psychic reading right now. Come on, give me what?
on the spot.
And they don't realize that actually takes work and an energy and it's the way it works. Yeah. Every now and then, and in my case, one was a stranger, or both were strangers, but every now and then, you have to tell somebody something, But for the most
part, exactly.
But for the most part, I don't want that responsibility.
Of course, yeah. And that's where you are in your path. And what if I tell you that a lot of people who are like us, go on and have different professions. Look at me. I'm a psych major. I'm going into psychology, but I know that my abilities, just like yours, Greg, it's gonna help me with what I'm doing, to sense my intuition, to fill a situation out, a person, those abilities within us, we have it, call them divine abilities or not, but it keeps us safe. Imagine if many of us listened to that, we wouldn't take jobs that weren't for us. We wouldn't get married or be in relationships that we knew we had a feeling about, but we still did it anyway. We don't listen to that inner voice. We've dulled it down. We've turned it off. We don't listen to it. So maybe, we're not supposed to be
real.
I've been waiting. You have kept me waiting for a long time. Please get into this story that that you've been building me up for.
And then thinking about it, I'm like, I think the missed story might actually be a little bit more fascinating, but we'll find out. We'll find out about that, but let me preface a couple of things, and that is, before I go into the story, is that I asked Ayla her theory on it, and so she gave me her theory, which I will share with you, but at the same time, I would love to hear your theory, and then your listeners' theory after they hear this show, what they think.
Of course.
I also want to give a prologue in that my sister has had her own, my sister, who I decided not to bring on with me because I felt it would have been too many cooks in the kitchen, But she totally is my witness that this happened, as well, verbatim, as I'm going to tell it, And the other part of the prologue is that she also saw a ghost before I was born. So she was 3 years old at the time. And she said to our mother, that she was playing with a woman in a red dress. And she's three at most. And my mom's like, what? And she goes, she's right here. I'm playing with her. There's a woman in a red dress standing right here. I don't actually know if she said she was playing with her. She was just saying, there's a woman in a red dress right here. There's a woman in a red dress right here. But she has her thing too, which medium who read with the family also confirmed. I'm not sure that she had the same kind of things, but I mean, maybe she could guest on your show sometime. I don't know.
I love that. Yeah.
So here is the story that you've been waiting for. Okay. So So I am in school and I am having a meeting with like one of the child study team, you know, some kind of, you know, child psychologist or child study team, whatever. And we do our thing. And so she has this rolled up poster and she says, "Oh, Greg, I don't know if you would like this. It's a poster of a panda. Would you like this?" I said, "Well, sure." And I was thinking in my head, I'm going to give it to my sister, Michelle, because she loves pandas. And it's a cute picture. Mm-hmm. It's a panda, and I want to say he was chewing on a bamboo stick, and it was the most adorable thing. So I get home, and I said, "Oh, I have something for you, Michelle. This was given to me by whoever this teacher person was. And it's this cute, adorable panda." And she goes, "Oh, wow, thank you. I'm going to hang this up right now." And she hung up the panda picture. Okay. So a little time goes by. I want to say, I don't know, a few weeks. I don't know. But time goes by. I forget all about it and whatever. And she had this hanging up in her room. She runs into me one day into my room. She goes, "Greg, yeah, you know that panda picture you gave me?" And I'm like, "Yeah, Greg, it looks totally evil right now, like a demon, and his ears turned into horns. And the look that this panda is giving in the picture is demonic and evil." And I'm like, "That just sounds ridiculous. How could that possibly be? It's just a cute picture." I go in her bedroom and look at the picture. And sure enough, this is a demonic panda looking back at us with the horns for ears and everything.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Well, have I ever lied to you before?
No, but I'm
yes, beyond, as we were myself. For many, 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 many years. So going back to that point, which may or may not have been the same time of the mist, I couldn't tell you. But so this panda is looking at us, this evil demonic panda with horns, eyes, everything changed. The photograph changed completely into this demonic thing. So I do not remember if we ripped it up and then burned it, but I know for a fact that we ripped it up, threw it in the garbage outside immediately, and then proceeded living our lives to this day, having that experience together. Again, it was witnessed by her. We can tell everybody, you know, in the world that this happened. They would think of all different kinds of explanations or whatever. What we probably just didn't remember what the picture looked like and all that kind of stuff. But it is verbatim what I just said, what happened. And she was there and I was there. So years go by now. I meet Ayla, my paranormal friend, who's like you know? And I said, "You know what? I want to tell you this story. What do you make of this story, you know, of the panda, without missing a beat?" And I can't wait to hear other theories, but she, without missing a beat, said, "Well, had you prior to that been using a Ouija board?" And I said, "Yes, as a matter of fact, we were." Now, this relationship I had with this Ouija board, by the way, was this Parker Brothers Ouija board, you know, which I never understood why Parker Brothers marketed a portal to communicate with demons to children, but that's, I guess, another. We're finding a lot of topics here for future shows.
We're finding a lot of topics here, Greg.
So, using the Ouija board, I always moved it. I would just make, in fact, once I was having like some kind of a slumber party or something with my friends, and there was a certain movie I want to watch. So I was like, "Let's have the," and they wanted to watch another movie. "Let's have the Ouija board tell us." And I would, of course, move it myself, you know. Not like, "Oh, yeah, I guess we have to watch this movie, guys." Okay. But my sister, one evening, we're having like some kind of a pizza party. And my sister's friend, who is extremely sensitive to the paranormal, not just the paranormal, but the demons in particular, come over, and we decide to use the Ouija board. And this time, you know, with her, I was not moving it. She wasn't moving it. We were speaking to somebody in this Ouija board.
Something.
So, I also, like a fool, I'm going to embarrass myself, but at least it's humorous, okay? At least it's humorous. I was a, I don't know, I want to say at this time, I don't know, eighth grade. So I used to do a thing where I would take the Ouija board and ask the spirits to make the Victoria's Secret models come to life and come out and, you know, have like weird science. I was trying to do my own weird science with the Ouija board. Look what happened. The panda picture certainly was effective.
Exactly.
It's my fault probably all along, but at the same time, this friend of my sister's who we used the Ouija board with attracted a lot of that kind of energy. She had even told us her history of that thing. So between that and my, please make these Victoria's Secret models come to life, you know, between that and that, she felt that I had a trickster demon and that the panda was, you know, possessed by the trickster demon. Now, if it was around the same time as the mist thing, could there be a connection? I do not know. I don't even remember. I don't really remember if... Well, I mean, yeah, sure, you could give me your input, but I don't really remember if it was around the same time or you know, if I felt like, you know, innately that there was some kind of connection. I really don't, even to this day. Mm-hmm. Now, but that is the story. That is the big story I've been waiting to tell you. And then Ayla's theory on that, my paranormal expert friend in my life, believes that it was the Ouija board and the trickster demon that came in through the Ouija board. Especially stupid me, stupid 12 or 13 year old me, asking it to please make secret models come to life. No malicious intent, but so that's the story. And that was her theory. But I'd love to hear anything else you'd like to say about.
Yeah. Well, you know, in their world, time doesn't exist. So it doesn't matter how old you were when you did it and it happened years later. It's always going to be around and revisit you, you know, because using that unleashed it, you know, and they very much make things happen. And, you know, they're manifestations, you know, of they can you've hear of walls, you know, the wall bleeding, you know, or they're manifestations of evil. They can do things like that. So it wasn't really the poster that was evil or haunted. It just manifested in that way to you guys. You hear of Bibles burning or things like that when demons are around and want to make their presence known. And I feel it was definitely the same thing that was unleashed. This girl in particular who was with you, I feel like had something already attached to her. So it's kind of like she brought it along with her. And the Ouija board, I've never used it. I've been in the same room as
just
one.
Just don't.
But I remember, just don't do it. Especially, you know, some people, they don't have anything happen, to be honest with you. And I really, I will be honest, those things pick and choose who they want to mess with. And some people get chosen and some people don't. I mean, that's just how my experience is. And with other people who are like, well, I've sat down and nothing has happened, you know? The whole time you're talking, and I'm not even joking, I was getting hit with like some pretty heavy dark energy, you know, through the whole thing in the reading. Yeah, it was definitely demonic. I feel like when you stood in your power and told it to leave, it was the same thing. You know,
mist was connected to the panda picture. Oh, okay. Okay.
110%.
No problem.
Yeah. That's what I feel.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was before or after it or how many years it was or anything like that. But yeah, that was, yeah. And let's not forget, I was using it alone.
what would you say to yourself back then? You know, as far as, you know, that the first time that you obviously were like, you know what, I don't want to share this with anybody. I don't even want to read into this anymore. I don't want to do this. What would you go back and do differently? Would you do the same things, you know, or would you, what would you tell yourself?
You mean with the incident that got me in trouble with people?
Yeah. Like, just in general, like going back and, you know, if we would get the opportunity to go back in time and talk to ourselves when we were younger, what would we say? You know, especially when it comes to things like this. I know that I would definitely go back and be like, you know, I still have those conversations with myself because I still feel like we still have that, you know, inner child that we brought with us who's experienced a lot. So, you know, I've had to talk to her for a lot, you know, several times, you know, to let her know it was okay to be scared. You were so small. It's okay to have questioned it, but I wish I could go back and not be so afraid.
Let's break down every quick, you know, situation. Four-year-old Greg who saw the ghost, you know, like when you're a child, you know what it is. You know, you don't make any kind of rational, you know, oh, well, that must be this, this must be this, you know? But I think it was, I don't know, testing me to see if I wanted to continue. I mean, we always knew in that particular house, believe me, there was something in that. That was the house I grew up in. There was something there. And they were in the basement. Yeah. We had a basement and the stairs were really cold to go down there. It was freezing down there all the time. And I couldn't be alone down there. Nobody could, you know? So this house had some things in it. Maybe they wanted to get a hold of me, but I think due to personal traumas that happened that had nothing to do with the paranormal. I think I didn't need, there's a reason for everything. We both know that. And I think what it really comes down to was that I don't need an extra thing that has to give me strife in life. So I think as a kid, when that incident happened, they may have been trying to reach out to me, but I think, you know, by that time, in a few years down the road, we had family tragedies that are just unspeakable. So I think I didn't need another thing. So there was that one. In terms of the grandmother reaching out to me, that was fine. I didn't mind doing that, and I have no regrets about that. I probably just shouldn't have, but I couldn't help it. It was this feeling that I must do this. Reached out to a stranger, you know, and I mean, in one case, you know, this was, in the first case, this is a grandmother who died of natural causes, you know, who was, you know, just completely in love with her granddaughter, you know, their relationship. I felt their connection, their bond, you know, and she needed to hear this, you know. But the other one was against my better judgment, but I am at the same time happy, for lack of a better word, I say that a lot, that the medium confirmed that that's what happened. And so I'm okay with it. I'm okay that I get these dreams. I'm not as in tuned as some others because I choose not to be. And I don't want to be. But there are some things like this dream I had or messages that I got. They need to be heard. Sometimes whatever it is that brings me these messages and dreams needs to be heard. The other thing I want to tell, like, everybody that have what we have, so to speak, is that a bad combination, and I have this too, is to be this sensitive and gifted like you, you know, but also have anxiety and be neurotic at the same time. It is a terrible combination because then you think that everything has to do with spirits, or that if you have a dream that really upsets you, you think, oh my God, that better not be a premonition. Oh my God. You know? So it's like to comfort people that sometimes a dream is just a dream, a thought.
It's just a dream.
But, you know, when you get that, people talk about those gut feelings and people talk about the.
You just feel the higher power around them.
I mean, I don't fault highly religious, you know, of what I never was, you know, people who believe in God. They do feel the presence. I happen to believe in feeling the higher power or the spirit guide presence, but it's all okay, is my point. Everything is okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything is okay, and we're going to be okay, you know, and there's so much, there's so many people like us, and there's a great community, you know, and I'm finding that right now in my 30s that I wish I had earlier, you know, and I love that you made that, you know, that comment for others, because it's true, you can't feel like everything, because then you get lost in it, you know. I know a lot of people who get really lost in it, and they can't distinguish between, you know, their waking life, and you know, it kind of gets blurred, and I don't like living in that, those blurred lines, you know. I like to stay very much present, and I do the same thing as you, like I have that boundary with spirit where I'm like, look, when I regard you, okay, sometimes I can't stop it, kind of like you, where it's like, okay, I have that need, something comes to me, I'll call somebody out, you know, they'll be like, wow, you just sensed me, this is happening. That's, those are the things that usually happen. But yeah, I very much am at this point in my life where I just want to regard it and deal with it on my own terms, because I've stepped in that power that I had a long time ago, you know, when I wasn't in full control. And I noticed that once I got my own self into balance, and I have a spiritual practice, you know, call it prayer, meditation, you know, and I did my own inner work, you know, that it seemed to balance things a lot more, you know, where I could handle well, a lot differently.
I know you want to wrap, and I just have two more things to say to your listeners. One, I truly believe, like, so my father passed in 2002. So it's a long time already. However, I discover songs that I knew he would have liked, maybe movies that I knew he would have liked, things that I knew he would have enjoyed, and I truly do feel like he is watching or listening or does feel what I feel he would feel about the situation. That's one. And so if anybody, you know, has lost a parent, I would tell them that.
That's a great way to wrap up, because, you know, that's what I like to instill in the show is hope and faith, and that you're not alone, and we're not, and we can see death and we can see things a lot differently, and be open to it in a way that doesn't make us afraid of it, and our own mortality, because we know that there's something else waiting for us, and we can still give others that peace and that confirmation, even, you know, like you said, it's not for everybody, there is a job for everybody. And when you're not ready, you're just not ready. So please, if you guys are listening to this, and you've been called to listen, because I do feel like those who listen are supposed to, please just take your time. Never do anything that you're not ready to. You'll just know, right, Greg? You'll just know. You'll know when the timing is right. You'll just know. So trust those instincts, trust that gut within yourself, that inner voice. And I want to thank you so much, Greg, for coming on. I know that you and I have been talking about this, but and not only that, we were talking about how I have to regard you for this, because when we first started talking, I felt you opening yourself up all over again, you know, because I feel like it had been quite some time since you talked about this. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate your ability to come and talk to me.
Oh,
and I know
that's
I'm gonna
great.
Hold you on a lot more. So I know this is it's not
great.
Just the first
yes.
time.
So I have no idea. I use Anchor for my podcast. If anybody is out there, it is MSV Podcast. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Twitter at MSV Podcast 1. I am okay to admit that's my podcast. It is not like this one. It is political. Do not listen if you're annoyed by politics, especially left politics. But we're changing our format next season. And a paranormal show is coming up. I may have mentioned that at the top of the show. with Ayla and a skeptic, or my co-host John, my skeptic friend, one of my skeptics' friends. And it's going to be a two-parter because we're going to have a conversation, then we're going to do a test, and then come back the next week and see how the tests went. So that is coming up in season two. Yes.
That's going to be great. I'm so looking forward to it. You guys, again, it's at MSV Podcast.
MSV Podcast One on Twitter, at MSV Podcast One. Yeah, we did 12 shows this season. They get better as they go, I guess. I have no idea why Anchor and Record With Friends doesn't always agree with me like it agreed here with you today. Enjoy, just enjoy. Yeah. It doesn't make the shows all that unlistenable. But one of our things is we don't edit, we're no frills, and we suck is actually one of our things. We suck. But it's good suck. It's a good suck, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's I don't feel that way, but, you know, I love to listen. You guys are so funny. but thank you so much, Greg, for coming on tonight. And I appreciate you so much, you guys. Thanks for coming on. And that's a wrap, guys. Thank you so much for stopping back in. Please go ahead and follow me if you have Twitter at VLifeParanormal. Stay up to date on all my latest episodes and everything about Life Paranormal with V. You can also go on my website at www.lifeparanormalwithv.com. Go ahead and look at my merch store. I just dropped some new designs, and I will have another design coming on pretty soon, too. All right, with that said, everyone have a good night. See you later.